Man, I could tell you we could be happy because this is resurrected. Hey, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. 6 o'clock, we started the Passover. We're in the Passover right now. Glory to God. This is a week of, Sabbath day is always Friday at 6 o'clock to Saturday at 6 o'clock. The Jews always start. Their day starts at 6 p.m. at sunset. So their days start like that. Our days usually start in the morning. You know, we live on a different cycle, a different calendar. But they start in the evening. And so in this week, in Holy Week, there were lots of Sabbaths on this week. And so it's kind of interesting to keep up with. We were laughing today because we were looking up what everybody thought about the day Jesus was crucified. I mean, they had it Monday through Friday. I mean, it was interesting. I'll give you my opinion in a minute. But, and if there's a prize, I'm going to win it. Glory to God. But, it's just a special week. So much was done. So, Ronnie, if you get ready, we can go ahead and put up the first slide. We're going to talk about the feast because I saw your faces on Sunday when I said, do you know what the feasts are? And everybody went, So we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the Feast of Israel. Now, some of these pictures were taken when we were in Israel, so you get to see Jesus and some people on here anyway. So everybody here knows the expression, a picture's worth a thousand words, right? What does that mean? Well, it means that we can more clearly communicate our thoughts with the use of visual aids, okay, than just words alone. Click. A picture is worth a thousand words. Can you tell what that picture is? If you look, we're a little light in here, but that's the tomb, okay? All right, that's worth a thousand words right there. So, but think about it now. When kids were growing up, you gave them blocks, right? You gave them the alphabet, and you don't give them a lecture on the theory of language. True. Amen. You give them a block with a letter carved on it, and it helps teach them. Well, that's what the Bible did. That's what the Bible does. There's visual aids all in here to teach certain people certain truths, and the Old Testament is filled with visuals. The way God set things up is everything in the Old Testament is a picture of the New Testament, okay? So these are our blocks. The Jewish people practiced laws and rituals through their physical senses, and they were really pictures of spiritual truths concerning relationships with God. So today we're going to use these visual aids. And one of the clearest visual aids which God gave the Jews is their what? We might say holiday, they might say holy day, but what's actually happening here, go ahead and click to the next. There you go. Now, that right there, I have to stop and tell you about that. Anybody know what's behind the words there besides Deb? You do, okay. How many of y'all have been there? What an interesting place. Okay, so the holidays, if we're going to go Hebrew, we're going to go Moedim or Moed, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, these are not Jewish holidays. They're the Lord's feasts. Mm-hmm. So they're ours, too. They're not Jewish holy days. They're the Lord's holidays, our holy days. And so it's, now we don't keep them like they keep them because we've seen some fulfillment, but what they are to us are their pictures for us. And so God set these up. Now, Moed means set time. So these holy days or high feasts were set at a specific time during the year. And they happened every single year, okay? Mm-hmm. And so they're not changeable. When you hear someone talk prophetically, if they talk about a moed, they're talking about a set time. Right. Yeah. There's a psalm that says, it's a set time and I will favor you. There's a set time. In Greek, kairos. It's called kairos. Chronos would be time being played out. Yeah. Kairos would mean right now. It's a set time. Okay, so we're talking Old Testament, so we're going to talk Hebrew here. So let's just look at those. And so we see these holidays. They're holy convocations established by God when the Jews would come together for a special way. Now, just before you turn to the next one, how many feasts are there? Anybody know? Okay, click. The Feast of Israel. So we have Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacles. So now, but here's the truth of it. There's just three seasons. The seven happen in three seasons, and they all happen in a harvest season. So they have the barley harvest, a wheat harvest, a fruit harvest, an ingathering harvest. Now you can click to the next. Click. So there's Deb with Jesus. Anybody know who Jesus is? It's Toby. So Brandon Holler always has the Living Lord's Supper. And so Toby used to play Jesus in the Living Lord's Supper at their church. So now here's what you got to get, church, so that this is going to help you understand what's going on today personally. In every feast, you see something historical. You see something prophetic. You see something personal, and you see something seasonal, and you see Jesus. He's in every one of them. So we see something, and we see someone, historical, prophetic, personal, and seasonal. Click. Now, three seasons. So if we just look at the three seasons and we take out Unleavened Bread and barley harvest and all those in there, then we see that there's Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. These are the three major encounters they're having, and then all the seven will come in with those as we go through them. So our encounter with Passover, go ahead and click, is about peace. Now, peace with God and the peace of God. The first Passover was when God delivered Israel from Egypt. And he showed them how to be delivered from death. And you all know the story. Listen, read Exodus. This is going to help you understand Jesus. Go back and read how they got freed from Egypt. The 10th plague was death to the oldest living child. But everyone who killed the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost of their house escaped death. And so now that's an easy picture for us, isn't it? So Passover equals peace. The first Passover occurred when the Jews were delivered from Egypt. How to be delivered from death? There was a lamb that was slain. Click. Okay, now, Jesus, okay, let's talk about it just for a moment. I want to make sure we get this. God instructed the Jews to celebrate. Okay, they did the Passover. They had the actual happening of it, okay, in Egypt. But then after that, when they moved out into the wilderness and began to cross, go into the promised land, God gave them a command to celebrate the Passover every year. So from the time they left Egypt until Jesus was crucified, with some little stuff happening in between, the Jewish people celebrated the Passover. Okay. Now I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. I may get a little ahead of us on this, but what we're actually seeing is by the time the temple is built, the Jews are bringing the lambs to the temple. Okay. Ooh, just felt the Holy Ghost on that right there. They're bringing the lambs to the temple to be sacrificed. And I always tell you this every year, that Jesus set up his schedule so that when they're being tested, they're bringing those lambs in, and when they're being tested, he was literally being tested by the Sanhedrin. He went to see Herod. He went to see Pilate. Pilate said, I don't find anything wrong with him. Well, they test the lambs because you can't come with a broken lamb. You have to come with a pure lamb to be sacrificed. Now, just in case somebody here is new, let me remind you of this. They came out into the wilderness. They were afraid of God. Moses is a friend of God. He's going and meeting with God. They're fussing and everything, being complainers. They tell Moses, tell him to talk to you. We don't want to talk to him. And so God's talking to Moses as a friend. Well, then they make this statement. This was a mistake, but they said it. Tell him to tell us what to do, and we can do it. So he gave them the Ten Commandments, but they couldn't keep them. Well, God, in his mercy, set up a sacrificial system. And it's the lamb being sacrificed. And y'all probably know there was a scapegoat and all that kind of stuff. Most of you have studied this stuff. But there's a lamb paying for sins every year. Okay? That's in case someone here hasn't quite studied that far. I just wanted you to know that. So the Jews can very easily, they should have been able to easily understand what was going on that day. See, his whole schedule just fit right into it. He's hanging on the cross when they're sacrificing the lambs. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. See, so click. So Jesus is our Lamb, and the result is we have peace with God because of what Jesus did. Amen. So, we'll talk more about the lambs and the temple later, but go ahead and click to the next one. Now, 50 days after the Passover, we have Pentecost. The day of the, what's the name of it? Shavuot, I believe. I believe it's Shavuot. Okay. The original name is Shavuot. That's when the law was given. Am I right? Shavuot?
Shavuot.
Yeah, okay.
Shavuot.
Okay. So, that's Texas term for it. We'll look it up later. Deb says Shavuot. I don't know. Anyway, so the law was given that day, but then when Jesus was crucified 50 days later, Pente means 50, then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened. So the Spirit's poured out on the same day the law was given.
Wow.
God is amazing. Okay, click. Now, what we got there when that happened was power. The purpose was power. And so then we have power to witness. We have power to remove burdens, destroy yokes. The power of Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus has now come on us. Amen. And so the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, everything's available to us. So there's freedom in that. And then go ahead and click to the next one. The result, well, there it is. Transforming power, moving burdens, destroying yokes, gifts of the Spirit, manifestation. Go ahead and click to the next one, Ronnie. Okay, now here is, this is very interesting. This is the Moed, or the Holy Day in the autumn time. Now, we have tabernacles, which is the ingathering of the harvest. They all came together. They all celebrated the Feast of Booths. We used to call that, I haven't heard this in a long time, we used to call them sukkahs. Anybody remember that? And it was the name of the little booths they would build. They would come to town and they would all build a booth to remind themselves of the shelters that was given to them. And so they all would come to town. It'd be kind of like if we all had a camp meeting and set up our tents all around. That's what it was like. And so they're having the ingathering of harvest, Feast of Booths. And this would be the bringing in the last steps here. Now, I want to make sure I get everything in on this one. They're celebrating the blessing of the year. And it was to remind them of how they slept out in the wilderness, okay? And that they're not in Egypt anymore. So what we see is it's a picture of spiritual maturity. They're growing. They're in a growing process. This is when they learn to live in the rest. God's moving them to the rest. So no matter what the circumstances are, we trust the one who brought us out because he will bring us in. That's the tone to this. So the purpose of tabernacles is rest. So we have peace, power, and rest. Okay? Okay, now click to 14. Okay, now this chart here will help you understand how everything lays out. You have the feast, you have Jesus, what happens to the believer, and what happens seasonally. Now, the first was Passover. Jesus was crucified. For us, we have new birth. The unleavened bread was when Jesus is buried. That's when we put off our old self. Y'all follow me? Okay. And then Luther, what happened with Luther? By grace are you saved? So that's when we came into the grace. And then the first fruits, Jesus is resurrected. We put on the new. We've taken off the old. We put on the new. And we have Wesley in 1739. That's what historically happened. Anybody know what his was about? Sanctification. He came in and said, we are the... Well, he didn't say it exactly like this. This is how I'm going to say it. We are the righteousness of God, and we can produce the nature of our Father. Yeah. Theirs turned out a little bit more like, stop sinning, y'all. Yeah. But y'all get it. Okay. And then there's Pentecost, exalted, Holy Spirit baptism, Topeka, Kansas, 1901, Agnes Osborne was... 1201, received January 1st, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She was in a little Bible college that they had. And so began to break out in America. And then what happened in Los Angeles in 1906? Azusa Street, that's right. Then we get into the no feast. So this is summertime, the church period. So we're just living it up when all those Holy Spirit baptism stuff. Then we have tabernacles. Now, this is interesting. We have trumpets. This is where we are right now. We're in trumpets right now. So we know that Jesus has defeated the enemy, so we stand in our victory. Church, we are not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting the people that are running the evil regime. Okay? We're not. We are standing our ground against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that are inflicting this darkness on people. I'm telling you. If you get on the, don't be judging the people. Let God judge them. If the Christians will move out of judging the people, what they think about Joe or whoever, and they'll let God come in. The Lord will judge what is right and wrong. He's doing it right now. I think it's so interesting that in all of the ages, this is called trumpets. Just interesting to me. So this is when we pull on the full armor of God, which is Jesus, which you know what the full armor of God is. It's the word of God. Faith in God, righteousness of God, all those things. And then, so that's the present season we're in. Now, the Day of Atonement is the purifying of the bride, baptism of fire, which we are now easing into. Okay? So, when I was Jesse's age and preached this, I had to say, this has not been fulfilled yet. But now we're fulfilling it. It's coming into being right now. So, we're seeing the glory. We're seeing baptism in fire. We're seeing things change right now. And then there's tabernacles. This is when we're going to rapture out of here. It hasn't happened yet in for future, but this is when we're going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. Praise the Lord. In the twinkling of an eye. So, there's just so many details that I can't give you all of them, and we'll talk more as we're getting into Resurrection Day. But this is what I want you to take away from this. God laid this out in pictures so that we could clearly see what was taking place in our time. And he's using these feasts to actually show you this. Now, if you want to know this stuff in detail, it is so detailed, you got to go get you a book. I use a book called The Feast, Jesus and the Feast of Israel. And it's out of print and put into a new print. If you want to buy, it's a paperback and it's $54. Don't buy that. Go look and find the new one. It's by a man named Richard Brooks, I think. And it's really good. Now, he does say some things that I disagree with, but you can just put, you can see it. You'll know exactly what it is and just write no there on it, your Bible. You know what I'm talking about. You know that thing that I don't like. Click. Jesus is our tabernacle. We enter the rest. The prophetic result is the rapture of the church. That's where we're going. So, we accept the Passover lamb. We get out of Egypt. We die to our old self. Get self out of the center. Get Egypt out of you. You're out of Egypt already. You understand that? You just got to get Egypt out of you. What would that be? What would Egypt be in you? Old self. Religion. Religion. See, now, some of y'all are so blessed that you weren't raised like us. We were taught a bunch of stuff. Useless. And we had to learn and dump it. We didn't know God was good. We just thought God was mean. Is that my last slide? Do I have any more? Well, let me hear the last one. Peace, power, and rest. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So what you do is you die to your old self, which we need to do. We are crucified with Christ. We say no. We get self out of center. The happy life is a life where you're not in the center, because sooner or later, you're going to butt heads with life if you're in the center. It's not always going to go your way. But if you put Jesus in the center, life is going to be good. You get out of rejection syndrome when you do that. Now, so then you begin to function as a new creator. Now, a new creature, but a new creator. You have the power to create now. You have your Father's nature. And so you can flow in creative abilities that you didn't have before. Your condition has changed. You have peace. And then you yield to Pentecost. You get filled with the Spirit. Now, a lot of denominations stop there. They say that it all passed away, that all the power and everything passed away with the apostles. That's not in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible. Yet we were taught that. And they used 1 Corinthians 13, y'all know, where it said, all passed away except for love. Total misrepresentation of that scripture. Has nothing to do with it. Everything that Jesus did is still here. Power, authority, peace, rest. It still belongs to us right now. God is still a God of miracles. He can do just as much now as he did then. And actually, we're supposed to be little Jesuses walking around right now.
That is right.
Amen. All right, so you yield to Pentecost, that's when it's going to happen to you. When you yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit and you begin to let him flow through you, you're going to see a huge change. And then trumpets is about learning how to fight the battle. And Jericho is a good example of that. You remember they blew the trumpets? They blew the shofar and they marched around the city and then they let out a praise and the walls fell down. That, excuse me, I know you believe that historically because you believe the Bible, but take it as a picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need to take that. The Jericho in your life, the walls can come down.
Yeah, that's right. It's good.
You're not, you can, they're beginning to take the land. If you're going to take the land, you're going to face some walled cities. Mm-hmm. But those walls can actually come down. And so we need to realize these are pictures of things that can happen to us. They announced the defeat of Jericho. That's what they're doing. Announce the defeat of the wickedness. You're like, you know, it Well, you know, if you look at our country right now, it looks kind of like a walled city. Because we got all these groups that have hooked on to the dark regime. But we're going to keep marching. And we're going to let out a praise here in the new future. And God, the judge of all, is going to drop those walls all the way down. And so everybody that doesn't want to hit the dirt better get off the walls and get in the real team.
Yeah. Amen.
Listen, I'm just going to take the time to teach you something right now, really quick. The Lord had me looking at Psalm 58. Psalm 58 is a psalm that David did when Absalom, his son, was trying to take over. When you read it, it's very, very strong words about judgment. But he's not placing himself as the judge. He's declaring God will judge. Church, listen to me. Whatever comes out of your mouth, it needs to be God the judge. Not us. I hate to tell you this. Don't throw anything at me, but we're just as guilty as they are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We hate the darkness. We hate it. We hate what we've seen. But when we judge them, we're just as guilty. So we don't judge the people. But we do speak that God would judge what's going on. The people have their choice whether to stay with that and go on with the ship. It's their choice. But if you'll read that, it says that their ears are stopped up like snakes that the charmers can't get to. And then it goes on and he declares some things, but he's declaring them not from his soul. My advice to you is don't be declaring judgment from your soul, but listen to what Holy Spirit is saying and say only that. We forgive the people because they're ignorant. They're blind. The God of this world has blinded them. And God didn't find you in your prayer closet. I'm just helping you right now because if we'll get on this page, we'll watch the walls fall down in front of us.
Yeah.
Y'all receive that? Okay, we'll just finish up right now then. So, atonement, this is what we're doing right now. We're being washed by the word and we're knowing who we are. That's what we need to do. The fire and the glory are present to change us right now. They prepare us for the next step. Right now, would y'all pray right here? Every time I step right here, I just step into a glory hole. The prayers must have prayed right here. Every time I walk right here, I'm going, woo! I'll get over here so I can talk. The fire of God. Now, obviously, we're going through times we don't like for our country. Personally, most of us are not very affected by it. Except that we hurt for our nation. But we're all still prospering. We're all still healthy. We're all still moving in God. But we see that things, they're trying to clamp down on things. The enemy is that we need to not have. There's been a couple of victories even today for us. But what I'm trying to say to you is just receive all of the presence of God. Spend time in his presence. Spend time receiving what he has for you. It's going to comfort you in these times. And he's going to give you what you need to say. But I was dealing with something when he led me to Psalm 58. And I was like, I thought he was bringing me a correction. He said, no, that's your seed. I want you to pray that, and then that's going to cause you to take a healing.
Wow. Glory to God.
But just make sure how you do it. Stay on the right side of that thing. Okay. So, and number 7, this is the rest for us while we're here. We're in the rest right here, but prophetically, we're in the rest right here, right now. You can live in the rest, but prophetically, this hasn't happened. That's going to be when you're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when you're going to raise out of here. That's when you're going to be in heaven. And it's coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming. And it's sooner than you think. Amen. Now, personally, I believe that we're going to win. The country's going to go good again. I believe we're going to have a glory blast in the earth, and America's going to witness all over the earth like it did before, even more. And I believe we're going to have good days. I believe we're going to rapture, and I believe the tribulation's going to start. I don't know how long it's going to take for us to be in those glory days, but I believe they've already started, and I believe we're going to see good results. And I don't believe America's going to blow up tomorrow. God made us a promise. He loves Israel and he loves America. And these are the two important countries on the earth that are going to help save the rest of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Y'all receive this tonight? Father, we thank you for the anointing. We thank you for these pictures, Lord. We thank you for all of the pictures that are in this word. Jesus spoke in parables so that we could understand. The Old Testament is full of stories that we can use that apply to us. David's Psalms are so filled with things that we can say that can bring turnarounds in Jesus' name. We thank you for those and we bless you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.